Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Jonathan Saya, research analyst at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, writing about the Islamic Republic of Iran. We now go to something that you cannot ignore, the multiple crises weighing upon the capital city, Tehran, in the Islamic Republic, a very large and growing city of many moving parts, except, Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Without water, there is no life. And what we have right now throughout the country are water crises, but especially weighing on Tehran. What is life like day to day? Do they have moments when they can get water and moments they can't? Is the water bad? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. Having grown up there, I experienced how that the water scarcity intensified throughout the years. And the implications of that are beyond just an environmental disaster. It has economic implications. Without water, there's not enough power. And without enough power, factories and manufacturing facilities are increasingly shutting down. On top of that, you're talking about a very congested city. And we have more and more internal migration from other parts of the country coming in from into Tehran, fleeing similar environmental issues that also persist in Tehran. So at this point, we're looking at a capital city that is reflective of bad management, and it's effectively a ticking time bomb.
There are other disasters, but I'll linger only a little bit on water. I remember being told that the people of southwest Iran, which is a distinct identity from Tehran, southwest Iran, have water problems in excessive amounts to do with their lands. They can't water it, and that's been a tool that the regime has used over the years. Do I remember correctly?
You do. So back in 2021, we saw major protests erupt in the province of Khuzestan, which is in the southwest. But that has now spread across the country. So farmers in the center, in provinces like Isfahan, you also have in the northwest, Lake Urmia has effectively dried up, and the people from that area are also migrating. So what at one point started in the southwest, you can now see it in the southeast, northwest, but most importantly, you see it in Tehran as well. The dams are drying up in Tehran, and there's no rain. So it is really, you can see how the crisis in Tehran really is a manifestation of the broader Iranian ecological decline.
I'm attracted by the idea of unregulated dams and diversion canals, industrial sites that have profit regime-linked firms. So what we're looking at is a crazy quilt here of Iran vouchsafing abuse of water if you have the power. Is that the state within a state?
Correct. So, of course, when we talk about water mismanagement, part of it is fueled by the main issue, which is climate change and just little rainfall. But now the regime has the power to address these problems. But instead, what they do is they prioritize their own support base, their own communities, and they hand out and they effectively contract different entities affiliated with the regime in order to ensure that, one, their own personnel are at least making money off of these endeavors, but most importantly, these are unregulated, so which what it means that many rivers are increasingly drying up because of bad water management.
So it's not just the environment that we could blame the heavens for not raining. It's deliberate abuse by the regime to favor its own side and not worry about the people of Tehran. Now, the people of Tehran are extremely well informed about everything. Is there protest? Is there challenge to this?
We have not yet seen that, particularly in Tehran, so to speak. Depending on the political turmoil of the country, we may witness different things. I think once we get closer to the issue of water rationing, that is more likely to lead to civic unrest. We do see demonstrations here and there that people are protesting, but in much more scattered nature. But as this crisis unfolds more, we're more likely to see different protests, as we saw in 2021 in the Southwest, and as we've seen previously in Tehran with in 2009 with the protests. So it is effectively a population prime for unrest. It's a matter of the key catalyst to really kick in.
Let's go to Lake Urmia. This is the northwest of Iran. Look at the map, and there you can see the Caspian Sea. But the northwest of Iran, Lake Urmia. And I flew over it accidentally coming out of Doha several years ago and looked down at what represents my ancestors. That's where my grandfather came from, Lake Urmia. It was once a very large body of water. It is now retreating as some other inland lakes are retreating across Eurasia. Is that abuse of the water or is that the rainfall? What is doing that, Jonathan?
Ultimately, when we talk about these mega projects that are led by the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, specifically the Reconstruction Arm, and this is an entity that has been sanctioned by the United States previously, this is a really a conglomerate that operates around the country. So it's not just Tehran. When you look at, like you said, Lake Urmia, or when you look at Southwest, you always see the footprint of one, the IRGC, like I noted, and parallel to that is the Ministry of Energy. That also hands out these contracts to unsafe contractors that are regime affiliated effectively just to make a profit off of this misery. Now, the argument here is that effectively this constitutes a human rights violation and the United States should treat it like that. When you deliberately deprive your population of clean and accessible water, you're committing a human rights violation.
We go to other problems in Tehran. Remember, this is a city of maybe 10 million, maybe more. I don't know, because the larger Tehran story spreads out over the hills. Air pollution. I'm told that the traffic doesn't move. I'm told that to get from one side of the town to the other makes Los Angeles look easy. Is that accurate?
That is precisely accurate. And to paint you a picture, growing up, a lot of the times, schools would be shut down, especially during the wintertime, simply because of air pollution. So you're talking about an air quality that is, I think, 10 times higher than the recommended, the CO2 levels are 10 times higher than the WHO's recommended average. So day to day in Iran, you actually notice the air pollution. You cannot see the city through the landscapes if you're on the mountaintops. And it's something that you actually smell and you're constantly ingesting all the CO2.
All right. We have a population that is large, too large for the infrastructure. But I learned from your report that the population continues to increase. What's the driver for people to migrate to a city that is not working well with bad water?
That just simply tells you how awful the situation is in the countryside, that people are actually risking migration to come to a city that's already crumbling. So, of course, the main driver continues to be water scarcity. But when we talk about water scarcity, we need to narrow down what specific angle. We talked about unstandard dams and upstream rivers that are blocked, but most importantly, when they over extract water from the ground, you lead to land subsidence, and that crumbles the infrastructure, and that continues to be a main problem urban development wise both for Tehran, Isfahan, as well as other cities. So it is really an internal migration crisis that was mostly sparked by environmental disasters and mismanagement, which literally later on trickled down into economic factors as well. So people are moving away because they don't have jobs anymore. They may have been farmers or whatever sector they were in, hoping for a better life in Tehran, which no longer exists, but most importantly is going to contribute to the crisis in Tehran.
And there is talk, it's just talk, of an alternate city. Is anybody doing anything about that to ease the pressure on Tehran?
To be specific, we're talking about a region called Makran. There's no urban development in the southeast area. It is close to the Pakistan border by the Sea of Oman. Currently, there is no urban development in that region, so they would have to be starting from scratch. Now, you're talking about a regime that doesn't even have the capacity or the management to build, let's say, solar panels to fix their economic and energy crisis. So is it really realistic to expect such a regime to build a new capital from scratch? By the way, in a region that always suffers from water scarcity and extreme heats, given that it's very, very close to the Persian Gulf area.
I'm speaking to Jonathan Saya of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. We're talking about the city of Tehran, not the regime, not the people in charge of the IRGC, but the city itself. The infrastructure is sinking. And final question, a lifting of sanctions. This becomes a question of how dire is it? Can it be turned around with better, with good government and a help from the outside?
Iran can certainly benefit from more tech when it comes to water scarcity, water desalination, what Israelis do. And that has been a major Israeli campaign targeting the Iranian people, saying that we do have the technology to help with your water scarcity. We're the only country in the Middle East that has been able to solve the water scarcity problem through technology. And should this regime collapse, and when this regime collapses, to be more accurate, we are here as your allies to ensure that Iran can actually sustain its people in a long-term future, and it effectively doesn't dry up into nothing in a wasteland.
I'm speaking to Jonathan Saya of FDD. We rush to the sound of assassination plots in Mexico. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.